from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
How would you describe, I mean, where this team is at? September right around the corner, pulling off the sweep. Just how would you just describe the trajectory you feel like you guys are on?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing really good baseball. Like you said before, the offense is doing its job. We've really strung together some good offensive performances. We continue to do that. I think I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. It's game by game and series by series. And win a couple series in a row, the sweep there is nice, and go to Washington and see if we can win another series and head back home. So good start to the road trip, but it's not over.
Hey, man, that is Ian Happ of the Cubs. Cubs at Washington tonight, 5:45. It's a Shota Imanaga night. Jake Irvin on it for Washington. He is 9-10 with a 3.80 ERA. Has had a bad August, which obviously one would suspect might portend well for the Cubs tonight as they are five games out in the wild card. This hour is being brought to you by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. I'm Mark Grody, along with Rami Makhlouf on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, the afternoon show. And Rami, before we bring in our next guest, Michael Cerami of Bleacher Nation, who we're looking forward to talking to Cubs with, just so people know that I want it for the Cubs. I know I said I was a little bit cynical about this team because of just I remember what happened before. The Cubs were two games over 500, and they've just lost trust with me. I want to read this text message because I like it, and it's fueling my optimism right now. From the 630, hey Mark, it's Mark with a C, which is actually Mars. Have faith with Phillies. Are going to sweep the Braves, and the Cubs are going to sweep Washington. We could be 2.5 games out after this weekend.
I don't know. Again, it's hard to sweep teams. What have the texters said? Did anybody tell the White Sox? I guess not. So I'm not counting.
They're living in a sweep world, man.
I'm not counting on anybody sweeping the Braves necessarily. But Grody, if you look at the remaining schedules for the three teams atop the wild card race, or the race for that third wild card spot, I guess I should say, and that's the Mets, the Braves, and the Cubs. The Mets, who are right ahead of the Cubs, two games ahead of them, they have 7 left with the Phillies.
Okay.
3 with the Brewers, 3 with the Braves, and 3 with the Red Sox.
Ooh.
They have 16 games left against really, really good teams that are right now in the playoffs.
Now you are helping me.
Atlanta, not as tough, but 4 against the Dodgers, 3 against the Phillies, 3 against the Royals, and 3 against the Mets. So they have, quick math, 13 games against teams that right now are in or around the playoff picture. All the Cubs have left, and this is not easy, but they have 3 with the Dodgers, 3 with the Phillies, 3 with the Yankees. The rest are losing teams.
Okay.
The rest of their schedule outside of those three series are losing teams.
Let's bring in Michael Cerami, the Bleacher Nation, and he's joining us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Is Aturo your hometown tire, aturo.com. Michael, what do you think about all that? Is there hope for this? Should I be more optimistic about the Cubs actually breaking through and getting into the postseason this year? And hey, how you doing, by the way?
Hey, good. How are you?
Sorry, man. We're just like in mid-convo here. Sorry, buddy.
No, I was enthralled. I was starting to feel my optimism rise, too.
Good.
I think a couple of things. I think you guys are hitting the nail on the head in terms of the Cubs' primary salvation here being their schedule. Their remaining schedule is among the weakest in the National League. Moving forward, and the only teams that really matter are the Braves and Mets, and for what it's worth, the Giants, who are right behind them, actually have the third toughest schedule in baseball. So that portends well for the Cubs But, you know, when you start looking at the actual math of it, you need simultaneously for the Cubs to go on a really, or to continue on a really nice run. They've had a good month of August, but you also need the Braves to cool off, and they have not. They've, despite, you know, the Cubs sweeping the Pirates, they gained a half game over the last 4 days, and that was by not playing yesterday. So it's been tough. It's been challenging. And although the Cubs don't have a ton of opponents remaining that are over 500, those three you listed, Dodgers, Phillies, and Yankees, just so happen to be three really good teams, not just like pretty good teams. So those are tough matchups. But I will say, as a fan of a team that has seen Craig Counsell-led squads, you know, lead the Brewers to resurgent, months of September to snatch playoff hopes away from the Cubs, I guess I won't say it's impossible. It just will require a lot more winning from here on out, and some, you know, the Braves to play ball a little bit, to play along. The opposite of play ball.
Little help here. Basically.
Yeah, not play ball. Just show up and don't play ball is what we're looking for the Mets and the Braves to do. I heard Craig Counsell a couple weeks ago say that he was kind of surprised that PCA found his routine and sort of his sea legs at the major league level as quickly as he has. Are you surprised by this spike that we've seen in the production from PCA?
I mean, listen, no one should expect from July 27th on, as just one really convenient cutoff. Pete Armstrong has been incredible, slashing 330, 387, 567. That's really, really good. If he did that over the course of a full season, he'd be the greatest Cubs single season ever, maybe, because of his elite defensive speed. That's not a level of production that anyone should expect from him going forward, but even setting that aside, you go back further to the beginning of July, and he's roughly 10% worse than the league average hitter over that stretch. And with his defense and speed, again, not just stolen bases, but taking extra bases when he's already on and the Cubs are getting hits behind him, has made him about a 2-win player over the course of a full season. That's a 4-4.5 win player, which is an all-star. I mean, he's already arrived. He's already, based on just his full season numbers, the sort of player that the Cubs can count on next year as a really impactful piece. Now, if he can be even average or better, we're talking about a star level player. And the reason I'm not necessarily surprised, again, keeping in mind that I'm not talking about the level of production he's been at over the last month. It's been incredible, but that's not going to happen over the course of a full season. But the reason I'm not surprised is, at least as it relates to his early season struggles, I was never concerned about a 22-year-old elite defensive center fielder who's hit at every step along the way, struggling against big league pitching at a point in baseball history when the gap between AAA and Major League Baseball is as wide as it has ever been. It takes guys a while. It takes a long time. And he's exceptionally young to be playing in the big leagues. So that's why I was vocal about everyone pumping the brakes a little bit on their concern. I know we got a little bit too used to seeing prospects like Chris Bryan or Kyle Schwarber or even Ian Happ come up and dominate from thing one. But those guys came up much later and they were older, even though they had quick ascents through the minors because they were drafted out of college. So it was a very different time. And we just had that lock in our brains that you come up and you dominate right away. And that wasn't the case for PCA, and the alarm bells were going off. Well, now, not only is he producing, he's doing it in just these incredibly meaningful and sustainable ways. His plate of discipline has improved dramatically. He's swinging at many fewer balls. He's swinging at more strikes. He's making more contact, striking out a lot less. He's hitting the ball hard. He's hitting more line drives, fewer ground balls, more fly balls. His average exit velocity is at the top end of the charts relative to players at his position. And it's all resulted in improvements in his overall production. And he's doing all of that with a .299, I think it was, batting average on balls in play. For a guy with his speed, that's low. That's very sustainable. Yeah. So everything about what he's doing is not just, believable in the package of a top prospect who is had a clip sent through the minors himself, but also based on the underlying data. So no, I'm not surprised, even if I don't think it'll necessarily level off in this extreme, you know, impressive quality that we've seen again over the last 6 weeks.
And I want to move on from PCA, but I think the only reason I became skeptical about PCA and not giving him as much breathing room as he probably deserved last year is because he wasn't hitting fastballs. But I get it. Velocity is up and crazy. So even that trick becomes a little bit more difficult. But to your point, yes, at all that, he's hit 342 over his last 23 games. On the other side of things, you know, the one thing that, you know, that was tough in that comeback win the other day, the 14-10 win over Pittsburgh, was Kyle Hendricks. Here we go again with the questions about Kyle Hendricks and his sustainability with this team. An inning and two-thirds, six runs, eight hits, three walks, which just kills me when I see the walks next to his name. How do you think that, and we've been asking this question, we ask it a lot early in the year, how do you handle Kyle Hendricks?
I hate to say it, as he's one of my favorite
I know.
Of all time. You know, you wait out the clock. We're nearing the end of this, I think. And Jordan Wicks has made a few successful rehab starts at AAA. At some point, you know, hopefully, preferably soon, you see Wicks come up and take over that rotation spot. He was scheduled to start tonight for Iowa, but then he was scratched. I don't know if he is going to make his way to the Cubs. He's not starting this weekend, but maybe he sort of transitions into the rotation by piggybacking off of Hendricks, and you hope Hendricks can give you an inning or two, or obviously hopefully more, but maybe the plan would be to give him, you know, a couple innings, just one or two times through the order, have Wicks come in, take on the bulk, and then sort of flip those roles down the stretch, and that might have to be that. I love Kyle Hendricks. He has been one of the most consequential pitchers in Cubs history, frankly, and is nothing but, you know, beloved by this city. And it's just, for whatever reason, and it's not the drop. It's not a drop in velocity. It's not a change in movement. He's tweaked his pitch mix to throw more curveballs. For whatever reason, it's just not working, and he's getting shelled time and time again. There was a nice stretch there where he was a usable, playable fifth starter, and the Cubs needed it because they had three or four of their young starters on the injured list all at the same time. So, you know, Hendricks was valuable this season in a sense, but if Jordan Wicks is healthy, he is easily, in my opinion, one of the top five starters the Cubs can put on their staff at any moment right now, so he needs to be the guy. And if that means Kyle Hendricks back to the bullpen the rest of the way, that's what it has to be.
Speaking of the health of this pitching staff, one of the things that's been great and has fueled this turnaround for this team is that bullpen. Yesterday, Julian Merriweather, he goes on the IL with the knee tendonitis. They still don't have Jorge Lopez back from his groin injury. That might end up being an IL stint. Can they finish the job down the stretch here if we're looking at two guys who have been as impactful as those two have been for that bullpen watching from the dugout?
Yeah, I mean, those two are certainly incredibly important. Merriweather, of course, you know, hasn't been with the Cubs for much of the season as is. So you have to just hope that Tyson Miller can continue to be the sort of steady presence that he has, and Porter Hodge can continue his ascent into, you know, a late inning type pitcher. He's been really, really good, really impressive. And there's still plenty of talent up and down, including Ethan Roberts, Daniel Plentia. I mean, these are guys that have big league stuff. They just need to rein it in. They obviously haven't yet, but they might need to step up if someone like Jorge Lopez isn't going to be available. Ditto Drew Smyly, who's still around. he's been, you know, pitching plenty of meaningful innings all year as well. So it'll be more challenging, but at the same time, I feel a lot better about the state of the Cubs bullpen today, even despite those injuries, than we did 3 months ago. Right. So hopefully people can continue contributing, but boy, there has been a lot of injuries on that side. And the unfortunate news that Ben Brown's season is likely over, you know, just based on that very confusing, troubling neck issue that he's dealing with. That's a bummer. as well, because, you know, he was obviously one of the guys that was like the brightest spot out of the emerging Cubs bullpen, you know, across the middle of the year.
Yeah, totally. How did you take in the Wednesday game, the comeback win? What was your, give us a little real time of how you, your emotions, what you were feeling, if you, you know, the whole thing.
No, I totally blew it. I let everyone down because halfway through the game, I was like, I think I tweeted, I can't wait for this game to be over. It was just misery. You put up, I think you put up three runs against Paul Skeens in two innings, and that felt like a waste. I mean, it was a day where we came into that game going, okay, listen, most likely the Cubs are not winning this one. They have one of the best starters in Major League Baseball going up against Kyle Hendricks. You know, the Cubs haven't completed a sweep in a long time. It was one of those games. And then right out of the chute, they started scoring. And you're like, wait a second. I mean, this team has life. It's doing something. And then the blow-up came, and it was just so deflating. And I had tweeted something to that effect of, like, I can't wait for this game to be over. And then they started slowly coming back. And I didn't tweet a thing because I was like, well, I'm not going to be double wrong and double jinxed right now. So I waited. And I got the quote tweets poured onto me. Like, oh, I bet you wish the game wasn't over now. And I was like, yep, hands up.
Here they come.
That was incredible. Never happier to be wrong in my life. I loved when they intentionally walked PCA because at first I was like, oh, my God, what a bummer. I was so looking forward to that at bat. And then, of course, Christian Bethencourt just continues to dominate. And then they just poured on run after insurance run after insurance run. And it was just smiles all the way. And there's nothing better than a comeback win, but there's nothing better than a series win before a day off, because otherwise you have to sit and stew in that. And that would have been a lot more frustrating yesterday had they not pulled it off. So I count that win, that giant late comeback, as, you know, cosmic balance for the Padres loss earlier in the year where they blew a similarly unblowable lead. And now things are a little bit more even with the world. So hopefully the Cubs can keep that momentum going tonight and put on a little show for us the last month of the season.
I do like thinking about the PCA getting intentionally walked, and his reaction in his brain had to be, oh, sick, man. I've gotten to the point where that I've... And then Bethencourt's like, screw this! So you, like, circle those two guys. That's your ball game right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a fan even yelled, you suck, to Bethencourt.
Yes, incredible.
And PCA, of course, was 4-for-4 before that. So that was his first four-hit game, but then he also reached base five times total. So that was beautiful. And again, Bethencourt got a chance to say, well, hey, I'm not going to suck right now, and came through. He's done nothing but impress since he's been here. It's been and he was not even – and we kind of lose sight of this, but Tomas Nito was the catching addition. And
then he got hurt. And I forgot about him.
Exactly. Yeah. And Bethencourt was the other guy.
Yeah, other guy. Yes.
Right.
So it's pretty incredible.
It's actually fun to see him come through.
I love it. Michael, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it as always. And as always, may Kyle Hendricks survive.
May Kyle Hendricks survive.
Take care, man. That is Michael Cirami from Bleacher Nation. Obviously, some great insight from him there. When we return, Rami, I need to share with you maybe the most important thing that I learned at Bears camp that is going to do me and other reporters well for the rest of this season.
Okay.
So I'm going to share that with you next here. It is the afternoon show, today being manned by Mark Grody and Rami Makhlouf on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.